another episode of Books and Betches. We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
But don't confuse us with books and...
We're back.
I'm Kristen, and with me I have...
We're
back. That's Erica and...
Maria.
And that's Maria.
We're back.
Okay, we're back. Yeah. I mean, we were on a break. It was great.
We were on a break.
I really enjoyed it.
We were on a break.
You know what's so funny? So we went on the break. What, our last recording was in November, I think?
Yeah.
Or September? September, October?
Yeah. Yeah.
A while ago.
Yep.
Right? And we're like, oh my gosh, all these books that we're going to read, we can read them like slowly. There's no rush. We're on a break.
Frantic.
Guess who did not read everything until 2 weeks ago?
Both of
you. If you're watching. Oh, you didn't? You read everything throughout the break?
She read everything ahead of time and then read it again.
Well, Crescent City, it's not fair because you were going to read it anyway.
But she already read it. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I already read Iron Flame too, so.
Oh, okay. So you don't count.
So yeah, I read Iron Flame, like, 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
And then Crescent City, I read this week.
But I did frantically rewatch the episode of this book.
Okay, well, for those of you who are new here, we're a book podcast. We swear, we spoil, we talk about sex, and we suck at it, quadruple S. And this week, we're talking about something that's highly anticipated, and I think the third book's coming out soon, but yep. That book is Crescent City. What is the rest of that?
House of Sky and Breath.
House of Sky and Breath.
By Sarah J. Maas.
Sarah J. Maas.
There's so much that happens in this book, and there's so much that we want to say about it.
There's so much that doesn't matter.
Let me give you a warning at the top of this. If you have not read this book, do not listen to this podcast. Not just because of the spoilers, but because...
Doesn't make sense.
We are not going to go fully into the plot here. Because we can't. We don't have 3 hours to do it.
So typically in our episodes, like some of you guys listen to our episodes because you're like, oh yeah, like we'll like figure it out along the way because we talk about the plot.
Exactly.
Throughout this. We can't do that for this book. And the reason we can't do that is we watched somebody break it down, and it was a 3 hour, 45 minute YouTube video.
2.5 hours.
So let's shout.
3 hours. I want to shout her out. Yeah, I want to shout her out. Carrie can read on, Carrie spelled C-A-R-I, on YouTube is an angel among humans.
It's actually how I know everything about these books.
She was doing the Lord's work.
So she not only broke down Crescent City 1, the entire plot, which was about 2 hours as well.
Watched the whole thing.
She also broke down Crescent City 2, the entire plot. And I am so grateful to her because even though I read the whole book, she broke down things that would matter later on in the book that yes. I was not registering. So I was like, whatever.
Sarah's- I don't even know how she did that. I don't know how she did it.
She's an
so
angel.
I want to say, if you have not read these books and you still, you're like, okay, yeah, whatever. I don't need the plot. I just want to listen to your thoughts. Just go watch her video. Go over to YouTube, type in Carrie Can Read Crescent
City. You
could
do the playback speed to 2 times. Yeah. And it was perfect. Like,
she does have a beautiful voice though.
She has an amazing, I love her voice.
Yeah.
I have a little girl crush on her because just from her voice.
It's crazy. I haven't read either of these books, and I know everything about these books.
She breaks it down so well.
Like, I genuinely feel like I read them, and I have to say...
If only we did that podcast like that.
The first... I wish we knew about it before because we really fucked that first one up. But the first one, I talked a lot of shit. I still have a lot of shit to talk, but I actually found myself being like, oh, I kind of want to know what happens next, and, like, going back to her video. Like, I got invested... And maybe it was because the way she
Carrie
read it.
Did it well.
But either way, there was parts I got really sad when the Lahaba died. Yeah. I choked up.
I cried during Lahaba. The actual like chapter.
And
I didn't even read it.
So that's what I want to give Lahaba. That at the top. And we are still going to try to do a 60-second of this.
I
want to
try it.
Yeah? I love that you want to try it because it's so funny.
Because I think Erica did it last time, but it just didn't do well.
No, I think you did it.
Well, no, I thought she did. Because the horn and like.
I think I was like, you have to do it or something. No, she fucked up the whole.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
A lot of good 60 seconds under my belt.
Well,
so.
No.
You have a couple. You have a couple.
Not many. But not many. Crescent City, the first one, I was completely out of the know.
House of Earth and Blood or whatever.
This time, I feel like I'm ready. I have things to say. I wrote notes.
Carrie,
so, yeah. Thank you, Carrie. Maria, do we want to hop into the 60 seconds here? So I have a lot of questions to ask Erica about a lot of things that she has said.
Yeah, let's just get it out of the way. Let's see how I do. Okay. I know I'm better at these than you two. But
yeah,
this
way
might
better.
Be the one that really like is hard for me. So I'm gonna try. I'm gonna really try.
Okay. We're not making it easy for you. This is definitely how many pages is this book?
Too many. It's too many.
How many?
I think over 840.
Jeez. Okay. Maria.
Too many.
If you're new to this podcast, we do this thing where we attempt to explain the entire plot summary of a book in 60 seconds or less. This week, Maria has her hands full with Crescent City 2, the most convoluted book of all time.
Oh my God.
All right, Maria, are you ready?
I deserve an apology from Sarah J. Maas.
Okay. We demand a public apology.
Oh, okay. Public apology?
Okay. Here we go, Maria. In three, two, one, go.
We are starting 3 months after the end of Crescent City 1. Bryce and Hunt are keeping it on the low because they don't want to get killed by the Asteri. They're not having sex yet because for some goddamn reason. Through it all, we are getting new characters, side plots left and right. We have some mer people. We got a wolf. We got more wolves. And basically, we find out that Danica had more secrets because the bitch has so many. And we find out that she was trying to find out her lineage because apparently they were there before the even Asteri were there because 30. We find out that the Asteri this entire time have been siphoning power from the people of Midgard. Everyone from Midgard are actually fey and different creatures from different planets that the Asteri brought onto the planet and are siphoning their power.
Yes.
So throughout of all of this, Bryce is trying to figure out how, what Danica knew, why she knew it. And then she gets to the Asteri and she's coming after them. And they're like, this is my whole plot. And she's like, all right, Mr. Villain. And then she jumps into another world to try to get the Mahel people to save them. And then she jumps into the Akatar world and we see Resand.
Wow.
Breathe.
Wow. That was so good. Yeah, you would have never. We would have been talking about like a fucking Thunderbird for the whole 60 seconds if you did that. And that's the first chapter. Wow. That's the prologue. You
did amazing. I think it was as good as it can be done.
That was incredible.
I have asthma. Bravo. So sorry.
You did really, really well. I wasn't sure if you were going to get to the end, which is like why everybody reads this book.
I had to skip.
I mean, there's too much in this book.
Why
is too but much information in this book?
What's crazy is a lot. It's and Carrie put it so well. We get given these dumb scenes that don't matter, but a sliver
of something
of a plot point is thrown in into pages and pages and pages of fluff.
I think this series and this book specifically is an accumulation of a career. That somebody like Sarah J. Maas is so successful and she's had two other extremely successful book series. And now it's like, well, you're just going to read what I write. Like, it is just like, you're just going to get what you get.
Yeah. To me, it feels like no, to me, it feels like I'm going like,
I
want to
do whatever the fuck
I want to be George R. R. Martin. No,
here's
and
how
I'm
I feel. Here's how I feel about it.
I don't think so.
I was talking to Kate about this. I feel like Sarah is pulling a Cassandra Clare right now.
That's what I feel. I wrote down Cassandra Clare.
I feel
vibe.
Like she's Cassandra Clare, how she hasn't written outside of the Shadowhunters like
realm at all.
Like ever in the decades.
All of
writing.
Her million books somehow connect.
And
in
I
some
could be
way.
Wrong on this because I haven't read all of Cassandra Clare's stuff. I've only read the first Mortal Instruments book. But from what I saw,
yeah,
it feels
connect.
Like it's all in the same world.
Yes.
Right? I feel like Sarah has entered this world now where she's just going to make her own Marvel universe.
Yes.
And not right outside of it.
I don't think that's true.
I do. I do 1,000%. That was the vibes
I
got.
I don't think that there's no other additional stuff that indicates there's another world from where.
She just jumped into the Akatar world.
So there's two. So for in Throne of Glass, Aelin is the main character in Throne of Glass. She falls.
You're not going to give out any spoilers, right? For Throne of
Glass. I am giving a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, so just
it's
a
not,
warning.
It doesn't
if
matter.
You haven't read Throne of Glass.
It doesn't fucking matter. She's falling through worlds. I'm not giving the context of why she's falling through worlds. She's falling through worlds. She sees Reese and she sees what looks like Crescent City. Those are the two things that were
so
named
everything
right. As she's falling through connects. Worlds. There was no other city that was mentioned. There was, you know what I mean? So it was Resand in Night Court, and then there was an unnamed city that looks like Crescent City.
But it means that they're all in this world that Sarah J.
Yes,
Maas.
But I'm saying like, but those are the two series that came after Throne of Glass.
Right.
Right. So they're still all part of it.
Yes, they're, but those three books are Crescent City after this next release is done.
Isn't that like a 6-book series?
No, it's 3 books.
But either way, I think like...
And Akatar only has one... Akatar has one big book and 2 novellas left.
But I think that's kind of the vibe, though, of what Cassandra Clare is doing.
I'm still standing by what I said. I feel like this is starting what is a Cassandra Clare kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where she's entering her own world that she wants and she's going to write within it. Whether it's a spinoff thing here and left, whatever. Yeah. The fact that we ended Crescent City 2 with Bryce showing up at the Night Court.
I think it's the smartest thing she could have possibly done.
Oh, it's smart.
Done.
And we're not saying
it's
bad.
Bad. I'm
we're
just
saying
that's
similar.
What it
but
feels
isn't
like.
Isn't Cassandra Clare's all like the same genre?
No.
No. I mean, there, she writes a lot of different stuff. It's just they all kind of like fall into like the Shadowhunter realm. So I think like it's similar where it's like the realm or the world that she's created in her head intertwines occasionally. I think it's very similar. Because like
Throne of Glass is YA. Throne of Glass is YA high fantasy. Mm-hmm. Agatar is romantasy. And mm-hmm. Crescent City to me is strictly urban fantasy.
I fucking hate urban fantasy. And that's what I've learned from this book. Because is what makes it urban fantasy the fact that they talk like teenagers? Is that what brings it together?
It's the fact that it like the world resembles
because she has
or like suburban, like
this is what pisses
me off. Not a like that Crescent City is essentially like a fae New York City.
Fine. She has every mythical being in this book. It's very fantastical, right? There's a lot of fantasy happening. Why the fuck does she say things like alpha hole and team fuck you and they're all saying like shit that I would have said when I was 18. I hate that shit. That takes me, that is so my biggest gripe with Sarah J. Maas and why I can't read these fucking books is because I'm getting into something and then all of a sudden they'll say some shit that I'm just like, okay, are these teenagers or adults?
I hate the word alpha hole.
Same. I hate everything about that's juvenile writing and you're writing something so complex. You're writing something that takes, you have about 18 different plots and a million characters. So something as deep as what Game of Thrones would be, right? Yeah. And then you throw
this
in a word
that
and then you throw in a word like alcohol and I'm like, I am not in this anymore. This feels juvenile. It feels like a fucking teenager wrote this and like I think that is where my problem
is
because
I don't think that was
it didn't happen
what
in Agatar.
Like in Agatar and it wasn't what it was like in 1000% either.
So that's why I thought I was
and
like, oh, it must
Aelin
be
was 18.
That's why I was like, oh, is that what an urban fantasy is? But you're telling me. So, like, why did she do that? I hate it.
I don't know. There are so many questions I have about this book. Oh, and it's crazy because at the end, I ended up, I think, if you look at my review, I say 4.5 stars. I rounded it up to five. I want to talk to you about this. And the reason is strictly vibes. Like, the last 50 pages were like, holy shit, page turning.
No,
and
you're
like,
going against everything you've ever said on this podcast.
I know. You're a fucking hypocrite. I know.
Would you read this book again?
No.
Okay, then it's not a fucking 5-star.
I know.
So change your rating or change your mindset.
But I think that things don't have to always be consistent across the board all of the time. No. But this is an outlier for me. This book is an outlier for me because I have so many conflicting opinions about it. Because like looking backwards, part of me is like, this should be a 2.
Yeah.
It's not written well.
The sentences are
terrible. There's error. There's
you're a Sarah J. Maas stan. You're literally
I'm
as bad
not.
As a Swiftie.
I'm not.
You're a fucking Maas.
Publicly.
You're a Maas hole.
I publicly. Oh my God.
Let her finish. Go ahead.
Continue. I publicly very much like talk shit about this book.
But you gave it a 5-star rating.
But I think I want to change it.
Oh, okay.
I have not yet rated it. I finished it yesterday. Right?
That's
and
crazy.
When I put it down, I knew the ending because Bloomberg spoiled it for me.
Which I told y'all that was gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't
No, you told me.
Fuck.
You didn't tell me.
No, I told the whole world that they were gonna spoil it.
Yeah. I normally care about spoilers a lot. I don't like to be spoiled.
That was a big spoiler.
Huge. You should not have that line anywhere.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's the line alone should not be put anywhere. But
I disagree, but go on.
No, I'm also at the point now with this series, and I felt it in book one. I don't think it's for me. I don't think I care enough about this series.
Yeah.
I think I finished with Sarah J. Maas on ACOTAR.
Same.
I think when I finished ACOTAR, I was done. I was set. I was happy.
Same.
And then Crescent City came out, and I was like, okay, I guess. And with that fucking Bible of a book, I said no.
I don't know if I would continue this series.
I'm done.
Really?
I'm done. I'm gonna wait for Carrie to post book 3 and I'm done. I don't think I want to do it anymore. I commend Sarah on the fact that she can build up characters.
That's
like
cool.
Nobody's business.
It's very cool.
Man,
what she's
she
created.
Builds up characters and she makes you fall for them. And
yeah.
she gives like
it
I love
is
Rune.
So hard. Yeah. It I love is Rune. So yeah. fucking hard to write. And this is where I think people get caught up, right? They get caught up in Sarah's line verb, like,
I fucking
writing,
hate it.
Right?
I hate it.
Like, her line by line is not good.
No.
It's and juvenile, that's where people get really, really caught up in saying, like, she's not a good writer because
she's not a bad writer by any means.
Let me finish this, right? So people get caught up because they're like, she's too repetitive. She does this. She, you know, this isn't good and this is bad and blah, blah, blah. The way that she crafts characters and overall story arcs and the convoluted as this is, these storylines are fucking, they come around.
Is that me from Always Sunny with all the lines everywhere?
It does.
Like, it makes sense, I swear.
For you care about the character, that many characters the way that you do, the fact that you love Rune the way that you do,
love Rune,
the fact that you like Lahaba and you have a feeling about Jessica and you feel something about Fury, it is so fucking hard to one, write all those characters, two, make them all likable, three, keep them consistent with their choices,
their morals,
the way that they talk,
yep,
their voice, their actions, everything has to be consistent, because then you start going down these paths of like,
I gotta find it.
Rune starting to say something or do something weird, and you're like, well, that's not like Rune.
That's not Rune, yeah.
Because then you start fucking noticing. It's so incredible. She is a big picture writer.
Yeah.
She is a big picture writer.
I commend
you
for that. I really do.
You have to commit to it because you're gonna get frustrated along the way that I'm frustrated right now with this book, because this was a fucking mess. This book was a mess.
It felt like I was on a lot of side plots that without, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too dumb.
So going into the topic of characters, right? Okay. Somebody made a comment on Carrie Kinnaird's video that I thought was brilliant. So Carrie mentioned that Danica throughout the book, because I didn't read it, I'm really sorry. I wish I could speak genuinely to it. But throughout the book, Danica does her best work off page, right? So it's not written when she's like doing some side quests that we don't read about.
No, Bryce. You mean Bryce.
Bryce. Sorry, not Danica. Bryce is dead. I mean, Danica's dead.
Yes,
Bryce. So Bryce is doing a lot of her work off page. She'll come back and it's like, oh, she solved this amazing thing.
Yep.
Somebody had commented, it has 1,000 likes, and I think it really does speak volumes about the writing. Bryce doing her best work off page is a great example of an author writing a character that exceeds their writing capabilities.
Ooh.
And I'm sorry, but I have to agree.
Ooh. I think so too. I think she is so lost in the sauce in this book.
Yes.
That this story has taken over her ability to write consistently. Because what, and so the reason I say this specifically, I think that's a fantastic comment. It's a great way to say it. There's a lot of typos in this book.
Yeah, who was the editor of this fucking book?
So what does that tell you?
Have some words.
Yeah. What does that tell you when there's a lot of typos in a book that has probably been read by 500 people, right? Like, there's so many people that are working on this book. What does all of those edits mean? That means that this book has been fucking torn apart, that it has been so overly edited. Mm, all of my mistakes that are in my book are parts that I was reworking 100 different times. And I just, like, because I was doing it so much, I missed it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I thought I reread it enough and I didn't. That's where all those typos are coming in. So to me, all of those typos indicate that this book was heavily, heavily re-edited.
Mm.
And that means that there's problems within this book. Like, they knew I just there was problems.
I just think it's too much. And I understand that Sarah is building a world.
It's so hard.
It's massive. It's so hard. It's a massive world. And I commend her for it. I really do. But at the same time, it's exhausting as a reader to go through it.
Like, it's too much.
Atherion is a fun character. He's one of
the
merpeople.
He's so useless.
But he's fucking useless.
So that whole storyline is so fucking,
like,
stupid.
Now,
I couldn't even keep
up.
I hate it.
But I wonder if for book three, what's going to happen? Because so, backstory on Atherion real quick. He's part of the River Queen's kingdom or whatever. And the whole time he's trying to find Emile, this little kid that was with Sophie Renast, one of the
I like the
rebels.
Thunderbird stuff. Yeah,
Thunderbird stuff is great.
What's
the point?
Hunt? Yeah. What's Hunt then?
Oh,
he's
true.
Thunderbird.
True.
So Hunt's why?
Thunderbird.
Why did no one ask?
Did we introduce all those characters just to
get Hunt to be a Thunderbird?
That's because
Emile's not a fucking anything.
Why did no one say it throughout the book?
Yeah.
Well, Hunt, you have thunder powers.
Yeah.
Yep. Why can't, yeah, why couldn't that have been something else?
Well, I mean, the whole point of this whole thing is to find out the Asteri are stealing the second and the last, the first and the last light, right? And, like, that's the whole main bad thing. I mean, there's a lot happening, but that's, like, the big overarching thing
that's
like, fucking everybody
reveal.
Up. But they see, and they had a battle with Hel, right, the Asteri. They see the Under King a million times throughout this book is what it sounds like based off the plot that was given to me. Why didn't, when they see the Underking, who I imagine is part of hell, why wasn't he just like, yo, the Asteria are fucking bad, we could team up?
I don't know. None of it makes sense.
I don't think the Underking is part of hell. The Underking is part of the Bone Quarter.
But does he know?
But the prince.
The prince of one of the princes of hell. The one that's telling Hunt, like, hey, and fix your powers, Adis. Like, do Adis. More. Adis wasn't in this book. That was the Asteria pretending to be Adis.
Like, just tell them, like, what's going on. You know what I mean?
No, because the book would end. The book would end early.
I just need a better reason.
It's so much information, and it's so fucking not well done, and it's so poorly executed, and it's...
And Danica's the worst
friend.
But
the end was so fucking good.
Danica. The TikTok that I sent you to of that thing with Lizzo in it, I don't know what the show or movie it is, but it's like, are we best friends? And she's like... I'm definitely your best friend. That is Danica and Bryce.
Yeah.
Danica didn't give a Danica, fuck about Bryce.
Danica's not a good friend. No. Danica's not a good friend. There's no like ifs, ands, or she is the most infuriating character of all time.
And she's dead.
She's dead. And I would fucking bring her back to kill her again.
She might come back.
She's dead then.
She's dead then.
My thing is like, I don't think I liked Bryce's character this time, and I'm sorry that we were bashing a lot of this book right now.
Oh no, this is a full rage read.
I gave it 5 stars, but sorry. It's a rage read.
It is.
There's a lot of people who love this series, and I don't like being a Debbie Downer on the series.
I think
love.
A lot of people who love it hate how it's portrayed too. They the last 50 pages.
Yeah, and they like the last line.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also don't like that we're doing that. But whatever. So throughout this, I felt like Bryce felt different in this book to book one.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce in book one, I think the motivations were clear. Danica had just died and she really wanted to figure out the answers. For this one, it felt like we just regurgitated that process of, what do you mean Danica lied to me again? I must find out why.
Well, think about your best friend and like finding out that like you don't fucking know her.
Then I don't know her. She's dead now.
Yeah,
I know, but like that.
Like if she was still alive, I think that makes sense. But if she's dead, like she's dead.
Yeah. I think it makes sense that that Bryce is like acting irrationally and weirdly because everything she knows is upended.
I don't think irrationally is what I have a problem with. I think it's the motivations are only because of Danica.
Right,
She's obsessed with Danica, and I kind of
and I don't understand how Danica had all the time to do all this shit. Like, there's no fucking way.
Well, what else
was
she doing?
When I was with my college roommates, we all knew where the fuck. I knew their college. I knew their class schedules. We would go to lunch. That's psychotic. I would know this.
You
I would know that.
A bit obsessed.
Yeah. No, but like we were living in the same space. We know when we were coming and going. We knew all of those things. I knew when they were in the library, or you know what I mean. Like you just naturally kind of know all of that stuff because you're like friends with this person too, so you want to hang out with them. And it's like, how did you not know she was boinging had a mate and like was actually like sleeping with somebody?
Also wouldn't she smell different if she had a mate?
Yeah, isn't that a whole thing?
Totally. But Bryce she is a human, so was doing all of this research, was like being like basically like an assassin type, whatever, like, you know what I mean? She was being like a hunter.
A spy.
A hunter spy, like assassin.
Maybe we'll
whatever.
Get Danica's book.
And then she was also fucking...
We might get Danica's
prologue.
I mean, I just don't understand how she had all the time of the day. And then she was partying at night with fucking Bryce.
Maybe Bryce just kept passing out.
What about Bryce and Hunt? What
also,
is that?
What the fuck, Danica? You tattooed her back?
I don't like that at all.
What?
The fact that she put the horn in Bryce's back still kind of irks me. It's like
the horn is from Silver Flames.
Yeah, I don't like that whole like plot though, where it's like she is the horn. Like, come
on. Oh my god, it's so stupid. And then
it's
like
goofy. That's the word that I wanted to use.
Goofy.
There's a lot of stuff in this book that are just a little too goofy for me.
One of my favorite parts though is like when I think it's Ethan standing on like her glass table.
Dude.
Oh, and he finds the information.
Ethan takes Danica's sword out of Bryce's bedroom.
Yeah.
And he's literally like playing sword.
I like
in
Ethan,
this...
by the way.
Sure, he's fine. But he's playing sword in the middle of the living room.
It's such a fucking dude thing to do.
Jumps on the coffee table and breaks it. And within the coffee table were Danica's papers.
I did laugh out loud at that when we got to that point.
It's just like so silly.
We had to go through the whole scene of Ethan in the apartment. Grab the sword, play with the sword, just for him to jump on it to break it. Like, oh, look, Danica papers.
Wow,
I don't like the plot line either. That like he's in love with Bryce.
I didn't like that either. That was very Damon.
They needed something.
Stefan type of thing.
Or she needed something. I think it was. What about Bryce and Hunt? How do we feel about the relationship in this book? Was it not as.
I like my favorite romance in this book is Rune. Yeah. I think Rune is.
Everybody talks about Rune.
Rune Dannon, the crown prince of the. Like, he is it. He is fucking
Rune
it.
Rune is great.
He's Rhys, right? Like, they are. Spoke. Yeah. Basically, it's him, Dorian, and Rhys. And that
do you think
they're
gonna be cool together? Like, they're gonna be a fun, like, when Rhys and Rune eventually meet, because I'm sure they will.
They apparently look alike.
Yeah, they look alike. So I don't know. I don't know what that's gonna.
I thought that day was gonna be somebody from.
I was really surprised it was Lydia.
I loved that. Yeah. I thought like.
I say the it's the hind.
The hind?
It's the hind. It's
oh.
the hind.
Oh.
She was getting it wrong.
Oh. Whatever.
So, like a hind leg.
Oh, okay.
Which is so fucking. Oh, my God. That was like another thing that things. I fucking hated.
All the H's, the hellhound, the hind.
I hate the hammer. All of them. They're so
the
fucking.
The hammer.
They're so fucking stupid. And it's like, Sarah J. Maas, you're so good at shit. Why is this so bad?
He's just
so
bad with names. Moments. We've gone over this. The names
There's
is where
so
she struggles.
So many bad names. And so many. Like,
I love.
I just want to jump into her mind for a
my
day.
My God.
It's too much. It's like SpongeBob's mind when he's going crazy.
It's got to be her brain all the time.
Yeah, I can't.
People
can't
running
do it.
Around.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Hi, I'm Kate. And I'm Corinne. We host the podcast Pop Fiction Women, and our tagline is, we're complicated. What does that mean exactly? To us, it just means real, three-dimensional human beings with contradictions and conflict who also happen to be women. On this podcast, we engage in the simple but subversive act of taking women seriously. Whether it's a discussion of a classic rom-com or current hit movies written and directed by women, like Barbie or Saltburn, you can be sure we'll bring our own dynamic spin. And we recap some of the buzziest TV shows like Succession, White Lotus, and Yellowjackets. We also discuss book-to-TV adaptations like Daisy Jones, Tell Me Lies, Expats, Fleischman, and The Last Thing He Told Me. We give you a seat at the table with your favorite New York Times bestselling authors in our Complicated Conversation series, and we introduce you to the next rising star in our debut discussions. In both interview formats, we always ask the most important question of all, what's your sign? Subscribe or follow Pop Fiction Women wherever you get podcasts.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read, a podcast about the books that built our souls. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. Don't miss it. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna to Jhumpa Lahiri, Susie Essman, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they talk, they share. You can join us on Instagram for more behind-the-scenes content and giveaways at You Are What You Read Podcast and at Adriana Trigiani. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Again, like, this story is so convoluted and so amazing. The characterizations are so fucking good. People are so in love with these characters. Found family is so fucking hard to do. And we are in love with a side character that, like...
That's why I think she does so well.
It's so unbelievably
good. She does
found good.
Family
like,
so well.
You yeah. fucking hate everything about this.
When Ethan got his
and
pack.
And you still fucking somehow
it's
love
cute.
It.
Yeah.
You hate it, but you love it. And it's so confusing.
It's really, it's like watching reality TV. Like, you hate it, but there's that one person on that show that you like so much that you would like.
However, I turn back to this. She had two very successful series. She has the runway to fucking fuck around.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the difference to me.
But is she going to find out?
And I'll bring up this in our Iron Flame episode. Rebecca Yarros did something very similar. Her Iron Flame was a fucking mess as well.
Mm.
And it felt very different or felt very similar in the same ways. Like the
I was going to say this too.
Where they're yeah. It's messy.
Too fucking long.
It's very yeah. similar.
Yeah.
Sarah J. Maas has two fucking very successful fantasy series.
Just feels like
Rebecca
stay
Yarros,
in your
you
lane.
You have a couple of good romances and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have the runway that Sarah J. Maas had.
I mean, anybody has. You could do whatever the fuck this. You want. You be your own person and be your own author.
No, but
have
like,
fun. But no, I agree. But people are going to react.
If you're making people read 800 pages of Bible pages.
Yeah.
you're, it's a different story.
No, I agree. I just, yeah, it was just way too much, too convoluted and too many
but
things.
But the end is cool. I mean, like, it, I wasn't expecting it. I like definitely was not expecting Reese, right? Like,
really?
I was not expecting them.
So I knew.
That sucks. I'd be pissed if I was spoiled.
I don't, but you know what? I'm not as invested in this series as others are. So
fair.
I'm okay.
Fair.
So okay. A lot of people are on this and they're like, I don't understand like why they would spoil this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, how are you not fucking connecting these dots, man? Like, are we on a different, are you in fucking Crescent City right now? What in the fuck are you talking about? If you, like, let's say you are a really big ACOTAR fan and you didn't read Crescent City and you see this. You see that Reese is in fucking Crescent City.
You're going to go read
it. Aren't you going to fucking read Crescent City?
It's marketing.
At the bare bones minimum. Maybe you don't buy book one and two, but you at least buy Crescent City 3.
Oh my God. Imagine jumping in on 3. Yeah,
I would if I like really didn't want to fucking read it. And I was a really big ACOTAR fan.
Well, here's the thing about ACOTAR, right? Though, I want to say, and I do agree with you in a sense that, like, yes, she has two good ones under her belt. Now she can kind of fuck around. But the thing about ACOTAR was I wasn't pissed when I read it. And it's not even because it was literally what I was saying before. Like, the writing.
It was better.
It was just a lot better. I guess. Like, things were.
But again, like, I so think what about she had Tog? More rope.
What about the other series? Like, is it
Throne of Glass?
Tog is tough. So she started writing Tog when she was 16.
Which is crazy.
So the first two books in Tog are, I would give them a very generous 4.
Okay.
Very generous. And in a lot of cases, 3. And a lot
are
of
those
people,
giant books?
No. Okay. They're 350s. Like, okay. 350, right.
There's
400.
Like, let's get back
but
to that.
There's 6, 7 of them.
That should have happened at Crescent City, I think. Crescent City should be broken up more.
Yeah. The third Tog book, I think, gets a little bit longer. And that's where things like start to really pick up. And she obviously hits her stride. What people complain about that series is they're like, well, I shouldn't have to go through two books that aren't that great. And it's like, well, she was fucking 16. So, like,
yeah,
what do you say?
Let's get some leeway.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe she should rewrite them. I don't fucking know.
I do think, though, that she was shoving way too much into one and two books. Like, I agree. I think, like,
this
you could have
been a 6-book series.
This could have been a whole universe of books. Like, you could have done an entire series on certain like characters and clans and like drag like do the
Cassandra
Marvel
Clare
thing, you know, like we're getting to Endgame.
I like the fact that this is all interconnected. I think
I
that
do
it's
too
so
but
smarter.
We could have, she could have dragged this on for 10 more years and waited for that Endgame moment, just like Marvel did. Like, remember how big of a fucking deal Endgame was, or like how Avengers was when everybody came together in the theaters? And I mean, it was giant. If she dragged this on, like, she could have made a series about fucking whatever, Thunderbirds, a series
she
could have
made a Civil War series,
you know, like, what I mean,
like literally. Yeah. I'm nervous about for CC3 especially is that we're not gonna have that Endgame moment.
Yeah,
I'm very nervous. I feel like the y'all are gonna fucking hate me. You're hate this.
Welcome back.
The second I get that ebook, I am looking.
No,
up.
Erica.
I am searching Aelin. I'm searching Rowan. I'm searching
Erica.
Lorcan. I'm searching Reese.
Please
I'm searching
don't do
fucking
that.
Everything.
Please
everything.
Don't do that.
She's allowed.
I actually thought Morgan was gonna be Day. That's what I was like. The girl, though, she's bisexual, right?
Morgan, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I think that imagine if she ends up being Day, and I felt like her and Ruin would be a cool.
So there's a theory that Gwen, remember Gwen?
Yes, yes.
Is Bryce's sister.
Yeah. Oh.
What?
Interesting.
And the Autumn Court King in Crescent City.
So the Autumn Court
is related to Lucien in the Autumn Court in.
Oh.
In
I think that's what because Lucien's hair is red, right?
I think I was confused about Bryce's heritage. Like, her parents aren't, like, her dad isn't the king guy.
Yes.
No, he is. She is.
Okay. Because
her stepdad is Randall.
Okay, yeah. She has
Ember
a stepdad. That's what it is. Okay, that's what confused
Ember
me.
Ember's human.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
The one thing that I do like about this book that I will be very consistent about, of the three main females, or even actually of all the female characters in all of Sarah J. Maas's universe, Bryce is the one character that I feel like is like I closely like identify with. Like, I like the way that she internalizes things, the way that she reacts to things, the way that she experiences grief, and like even like the party girl style of her, and like the way that she is about things. Like, it just like I've never seen myself so much in a character.
That's awesome. I can't even tell
you Erica is Bryce.
couldn't even tell you who the main character from ACOTAR, the girl was.
Feyre,
that's the one. Yeah. I forgot about her.
But I think, like,
couldn't tell you anything about her.
Aelin is, like, who you want to be. Like, Aelin's cool as shit.
Who's Aelin?
I don't know. And, she's part of the
Oh, Aelin. Okay. I thought that was a guy.
And then, like, Feyre is just, like, chill. Like, there's a lot of people that identify with Nesta and Elaine and blah, blah, blah. Like, all these
people. Identify with Nesta, I'm worried about you. I don't know. Crescent City, I enjoyed ACOTAR. Really loved those books, to be honest with you. And I think it was because we stayed in the fantasy realm and it didn't feel...
Oh, I can't believe we
I felt that I, felt
we
more
We didn't
adult.
Talk about this. What? My biggest gripe with this book is that we go, I think it's 1,800 pages without a single sex scene.
But that's why I brought up Bryce and Hunt. I thought maybe you would
mention
it.
I completely forgot about that. That's a long time.
Do you mean between book one and book two?
Yes.
Why were they not having sex? You kind of mentioned
that. For no fucking reason. No fucking reason.
Hold on. There is a reason.
It's not a good one.
Let Maria say the reason.
But there's a reason. So once they come back after saving the town or the city from, you know, the whole bombardment and stuff, Bryce decides, hey, I don't want to get physical with you. I want us to get to know each other now that things are normal.
Okay. That's fair.
And so we won't have sex until the winter solstice is spring.
Such an arbitrary
So imagine saying to someone in April, like, hey, yeah. I just met
Didn't
you.
They already kind of get to know
they
each other the whole first
book? Moment, but they hadn't had, like, actual, like, sex.
Yeah.
So they said they wouldn't have sex until the winter solstice.
What a weird, like, thing. Like, you put a time limit on yourself.
It's so fucking weird.
And did they got to know each other throughout the whole first book.
But under duress. Under a whole Danica trying to find out, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's still the second book, too.
It's still book two. Nothing changes. Yeah. But yeah, then they eventually they have other steamy moments. And she's just like, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to wait till winter solstice.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Because she says that I don't want to wait anymore, then things start happening that keep stopping them from having sex. Ethan shows
it's
up
so
getting beat
fucking
up by
stupid.
Sabine.
That's annoying. It's so fucking stupid. And I don't know if it's because... She got so much backlash from Silver Flame being too smutty. Like, I don't.
Did she? What?
Yeah. I don't know why there was no anything, or like maybe she doesn't want it to be steamy.
Yeah, maybe this was just not meant to
be that. I don't know what the rationale behind it, but I don't appreciate being having to made wait for a romance to fucking pop off.
You don't appreciate the blue ball?
Okay. Oh, we
1,800 pages.
You said this in Crescent City 1. I did want to address this. That. A romance, like, between two people isn't just about sex. Mm. You keep saying this. You're like, it's not a romance. They didn't fuck. Like, that doesn't mean everything.
No, I'm talking about there's no intimacy whatsoever between
Like, no
them.
Kissing or
there's
anything?
There's no kissing. There's no, like, but there's no intimate moments.
There's pining.
There's barely any pining.
That's different.
I disagree. There's barely any pining. I think this book had way more about them, like in the pining.
It's bad.
Bad is different
than
not
having
it entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference
here. It's still a romance.
It's not a good one.
It's a relationship that's built.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you're not giving anything.
Look at Rune and Day. Well, Lydia.
Their romance was fantastic. And
they didn't
have
sex
until
the
end. Exactly.
Okay.
So I'm not complaining about the fact that there's nothing. I'm complaining that I went 1,800 pages and I literally could probably fill up 7 pages worth of their, like, pining romance. Versus we had an entire book.
I don't know if I understand your point.
Yeah.
There's not enough of... There's 1,800 pages.
She thinks that even
their relationship. And there's literally no romance in the first one. Like, none.
Yeah.
So then we get... So we're waiting for this
to
fucking happen, right? Okay. And we finally get to it, and they're like, we don't really actually want to do anything about it. And
but they're still together.
But they're separated for a lot of it. They keep getting separated. There's not, like, a lot of, like, getting to know each other.
This isn't a romanticy.
I know, it's
urban
just
fantasy.
It's not good.
Not romance.
The whole thing is their relationship is not good.
Okay.
It's not well done. Okay. But that's why people like the Rune and Lydia one, because it actually because
Rune's
feels...
a better character. I'm sorry, I like Rune better than Hunt.
Me too.
Most people
Hunt
do.
Is like a dry whiteboard to me compared to Rune.
Most people do.
Rune.
I love
some...
how everybody is the best looking fucking thing
Dude,
on the
can
planet.
Can Sarah not write one ugly character?
How are they all so sexy?
Cannot one person be ugly?
It just feels so fucking lame to me.
It feels like full of
vanity. I feel like Ethan should be ugly.
They all talk like idiots and they all look amazing.
I understand the Fae. Generally in books, they're always beautiful. I get it.
Yeah.
But there are still scary fae creatures.
Yeah, give me
Why
something cool.
Why can't we have people who are
then
just...
Then it's a monster one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Why do they have to
be, you know,
bad.
The bad ones?
Also, I have a question.
Yeah.
Was any of the sex in this book as cringy as
Carrie
mentioned?
Says, So
no, I don't agree with some of her stuff.
Because I listened to it and read it like physically at the same time, I had the narrator, you know, like adding her little zhuzh into it.
Ugh.
That's what makes it weird for me on a sex scene.
Yeah.
Really, I don't like listening to sex scenes.
It's pretty horrible.
It's not good. But she did great at like Cormac's accent.
Cormac.
Oh, okay.
So Cormac is a prince that comes in. She's like cousin. He's like a cousin of Bryson Rune. And he shows up and he's just like, yo, you're my new fiance. And Bryce is like, the fuck I am. And he's like Scottish or whatever, Scottish accent. So the narrator for the audiobook did it in Scottish. So that was fun to listen to. But I don't know. I don't really care for Bryson Hunt anyway.
Yeah. I don't either. And I think
like, I'm not pining for it.
Yeah. You have 1,800 pages and nothing happened.
No, I think the point that we were saying
leading
is
up to anything.
That doesn't mean that it's not a romance. That was like my whole point was just because somebody doesn't have sex or they're not like making out. There's still a romance happening.
There is.
Like,
there's a bad building. It's not.
Yeah,
well
that's
done.
That's what it comes down to.
I kept thinking that Adis was going to be Bryce.
People
who's Adis?
Adis is the cat. The prince of hell thing.
People want Bryce to end up with Adis. Bryce to end up with Azrael.
Oh.
Whoa.
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
I could definitely get behind that.
So
she's going to end up with Hunt.
Is Azrael who she saw when she first fell?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
And SJM said that Brunt.
Brunt.
You just created the ship.
Their ship name is terrible.
Not Brunt.
That's sad. The worst ship. That alone tells you they can't be a thing because their ship name is bad.
Yo, would you hang out with Brunt last night?
Heist is just as bad,
that's
too.
That's so bad.
No. Okay, so Brunt is... Brunt. Bryce.
Brunt is endgame with each other.
Oh, definitely.
But she says if they both survive.
Oh.
So she's killing Hunt.
R.I.P. Hunt.
I think Hunt might
she's
die.
She's killing Hunt.
Somebody's going to die.
Yeah, but then they're still alive in the afterworld.
Every single series, somebody dies.
You could just go visit them in the bone.
Oh, another thing that is not, we didn't talk about, is I think Amryn and Fury are the same thing.
Same person?
No, the same thing.
Oh, the same. Whatever they're.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they look alike.
Because, like, what is Amryn? I still don't understand.
You don't know. Nobody knows. No one knows. Okay. Just like how Fury, no one knows who she is.
Ah, I got it.
They act the same. They're the same character.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about Azrael like getting with Bryce.
Because you don't want Azrael and you're Bryce.
I'm
excited. So what I think
Braziel's kind of cool.
Braziel's
that's
better.
Way cooler than Brunt.
Yeah, it sounds like Brazzers.
One step away from Brazzers.
So what I think is going to happen in the next book based off of one, all of like Bloomsbury's like teasers and stuff, but also some of the spoilers that I know of is I think Az and Nesta are a big part of book 3.
Okay.
I don't think there's a lot of Rhys. I don't think there's a lot of Feyre.
So she's going to throw him in, keep him away. All right.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Well, I think she needs to build up Az. Like
before his book.
Yes, before his like
he's got a book coming?
Mhm.
Well, I
everyone's
think
waiting for it.
It's going to be Elaine's book.
I thought he was the lamest character. Don't come at me, please.
That's the thing is that
he's lamer than he is.
Yeah.
They haven't had their space to fucking breathe. But
is that so?
Yeah.
Yet every other character that no one gives a fuck about
gets
their own fucking 25 pages here, 35 pages there. But Azura, one of the bat boys, has not had enough screen time.
It's sad. It's
sounds
sad
like
reality.
A plot to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
So I think there's potential for some feelings to grow.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know. I consider... Here's another thing. How do you think it's going to be having Bryce, who's coming from an urban fantasy world,
good point.
Into a just regular fantasy world?
Very good point.
And she doesn't speak their language.
Yeah, what is the writing going to be?
She's going to call Rhys an alpha hole?
That's a really good point, actually. Like, what?
I don't know how
I think you have to
maintain. You have to stay in Crescent City.
Yeah, I think you have to maintain that. Again, so I feel like she bit off a little bit more than she could.
Yeah.
This series is like overstepping her writing ability.
And you know what's going to be crazy is if we sit on this couch in however many months from now and we go, we were wrong about everything. This was the best series of all time.
Well, that's the thing. So there's two camps with Sarah J. Maas. There are people who think that her endings of books, Kingdom of Ash and A Court of whatever the fuck the last one was.
Echoar?
Yeah. They thought that those were not great endings.
I don't like Akawar like, as much as I like.
They were fine. I just didn't care.
No, I'm saying like there are two camps. There are people who think that she does not write series endings well. And there are people who think I'm in the camp that I think she does them very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops. I have every faith that like I might not like these two Crescent City books, but I feel like I'm going to feel.
Like imagine the third ties
a sense of relief
when everything perfectly that's together. What
I mean. I have a feeling that
yeah.
I don't have with Iron Flame. Right. I have a feeling that I'm at least going to have some sense of like
it's like
completedness with the third.
It's like climbing a mountain.
Do you think it's because you have more faith in Sarah over Rebecca?
She's a moss hole.
No, I think that Sarah.
I'm fucking sticking with that. The moss holes.
Moss holes.
I love that. You got your Swifties and you got your fucking moss holes. And you are through and true number one moss hole.
Right. I don't think I'm a through and true moss
hole. No, yeah, absolutely you are. You've read every single one of her books and you love them. Twice over. You're going to search for one of their names when you get this book.
Okay, gun to my head, she's not my favorite author.
You would wear a shirt that said, Aelin for life.
Wow. She's coming for you hard today.
Like... Bat boys,
the wings right
you're
there.
You're a fucking like, muscle.
It's hilarious.
Just own it.
She's not my favorite author.
Who's your favorite author?
Either, I would say Jeannie Frost or Suzanne Wright.
She's always said that. She's never deviated.
No, I agree. I just think she's lying to herself. It's okay to be a muscle.
And both of them write urban fantasies.
It's not a bad thing to be a muscle.
How do you compare this urban fantasy to your favorite urban fantasies?
I don't like that.
I don't like it.
I can't wait to go. Actually, I kind of feel bad. I'm going to like go on Goodreads later and it's going to be back down to like a 2. And I'm going to be like, damn, we bullied her a little bit.
But like,
I bullied her a little bit. Don't change your rating.
You know what? I'm not changing anything until I read book 3. Okay. And then I might change things.
To read 2 other books to get a rating for 1.
That's fair, though.
But I do, like, sometimes I do rate
like
things
I said,
off
5. I can feel really bad about
it. I read
in
a book the other day. I was like, I know this book is not good, but I just feel some type of way after reading
that.
It.
I do feel
and
that.
This is, like, I was like, this is a 5 on vibes only.
I think vibes are a very big proponent on ratings. We've talked about this before. I and you know how people say that she's not a good writer?
Mm. I think she's a good writer.
I didn't go line. No, I meant, like, Sarah J. Maas.
Oh. Line by line. She's not a good line. She's not a good line editor.
I can't say anything about that because I'm not looking at it.
You know who also is not a good line writer is Sanderson.
Brian Sanderson.
Yeah. A great line writer. Yeah. Great with overarching like plot story, but like line by line, not that fucking great.
I don't know if I agree with that. But
again, I'm not dissecting that. I'm not going line by line being like, well, that's not good.
I'm
that's
a happier reader because I don't.
Yeah.
She's cheeky by making the last 50 pages amazing, so when you're done you're about to rate it.
You feel
that. I was so much that. Yeah, she relies smart. On her knowing she's gonna rock your world the last
those
20
last
pages.
50 pages it's of this literally book were fucking unreal.
It's like climbing
like you were on the seat of the you were on the, that's what I was saying, like you should read at the bare minimum read the last 50 pages because you're on the edge of your seat being like, holy fucking shit, like are they going to get out? Like, what is going to happen here?
Don't
you're
read the last 50
I worry
pages.
About,
it
I worry
sense.
About Rune and Hunt because they're still captured
so, yeah,
by
like,
the Asteri.
They got captured by the Asteri, but like
and
they're
Hunt's
running out of there.
Him, so now Hunt's a real slave again.
Wait, were the Asteri in Aquitar? I can't remember.
No.
Okay.
But the Asteri to me is just Volturi, man.
I think I'm confused how the worlds, because they're all different planets,
they're
right?
Different planets,
they're
different,
basically world eaters. Universes. They're world eaters. They go to worlds and they like suck the life out of the world.
So the
there's a little bit of like Transformer.
The mech suits?
The suits are a little bit Terminator.
The suits remind me of Iron Widow.
Yeah. I can see that.
Remind me of Terminator.
So are
okay, you reminded me of Iron Widow.
So are they all going to come together? They all going to come together in the end? The humans, the... There's going to be an epic scene, an epic battle. We're just coming. I don't know.
I don't know if it's going to be like this epic scene battle.
There was an epic battle in
Aquitar
when the Mayflower came.
But I don't know who the bad guy is.
Yeah.
Who's
the
bad guy?
The Asteri.
The Asteri. How many of
them are
there? They're
world eaters.
There's 6 of them?
Yeah, but they could be easily fucking killed.
Or one of them got eaten by one of the princes of hell.
Yeah, so maybe that isn't
so
the
like,
big
So, like, how are the princes of hell not... There's so many fucking plot holes in this.
There is a
where
lot.
It's like,
there's a lot.
Why didn't this happen?
They have
why
power didn't banks. Why didn't this just happen? Fucking axe the power bank, and there
unplug
goes all their.
It.
Yeah, unplug
how
it.
How is this the best kept secret in? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, I did think that when they were writing, or when Sarah wrote how, like, when Sophie went in and saw this information, when Danica saw this information, they come out white face. They come out
like, come on,
like, oh my god, I can't believe it.
Yeah,
right? I'm just sitting like, sounds about right.
But like
I feel like I would be like, fuck,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
like, are you fucking kidding?
I would tell everybody.
Dude, really? Yeah,
immediately.
Also, the fact that Danica didn't tell anyone, that Bryce didn't tell him until they're at the moment where they're about to really get fucked over. She's
yeah.
like, well, they did this.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna say it out loud so you know, because otherwise I'm gonna die with it. It's just,
it's. I feel like if you remove all the fluff from this story, you remove all the fluff. You take out all the extra words. You take out all the extra characters that don't really need to know about their story. And you look at the main
next book when they
the base plot line, the overall, like with the hysteria and everything else. It's weak as fuck, and I stand by that. I think it was cool. I love the whole power bank, the first light, the second light, but I think on its own, I think the story's too weak, and that's why we have 8,000 other things literally to distract us from the fact that this shit isn't that cool.
And I think it makes us want to look.
I can't believe we didn't talk about this. Go ahead.
I think it makes us over search for things, like
yes.
how she wants to go in and look for
yes.
Aelin.
Yes.
Just because the fandom is like, well, what if this goes to Throne of Glass too?
Yep.
So
like, yep.
that's the smartest thing that she's done. And I think that this is something that Iron Flame is doing, like Rebecca Yarros is doing. And you kind of see this like intermittently among some authors where you get a fandom so obsessed looking for Easter eggs and fan theory. Fan theory is like the easiest way to get free marketing.
Yep.
Because now you have people obsessively decoding all of this shit, trying to like figure out your next move and all of, and you have people just talking about it.
Yeah.
Excited about it. Talking about it.
Word of mouth is the best marketing.
Word of mouth. And this is like, I hate the term free labor when it comes to like talking about books, because it's like word of mouth is like literally from like prehistoric cave era. But so, it, you know, word of mouth marketing is like the best thing that you could possibly do, and creating scenarios where there are theory behind it, where you're like leaving a little bit,
true.
A little bit of fucking taste.
It's literally why I went to see the Marvel movies. I was like, people are talking about it so much that
so
I like
much
have
that you're
to go
like,
see
I have
it.
To know.
I feel
know,
out
I
of the
know.
Loop.
Yeah. I'm the opposite.
People yeah, with ACOTAR.
I am the full opposite.
I know you are.
The more you
wild.
Talk about it, the less I care.
That's crazy.
That's probably what's happening with this series. The more you hype it up for me, I'm
true.
Like, meh. But I think
hold on, she's yawning.
She's yawning.
Did I say this on the episode that I said, like, I'm gonna post a video probably today, later today, where I was like, I am, as your big sister, let me tell you that fan theory is always going to be better than what actually happened.
Yep. 1,000. Same
I've
with fan fiction, bro.
I've
so don't
felt this.
Go too far into it.
I mean,
it's
yeah.
fun
fan art.
If you're like light on it. But like, I got so in the trenches with Game of Thrones fan theory, and I was so
same,
obsessed
same.
With like
same.
Azor Ahai and the prince
same.
That was promised and
yep.
what all that means.
Yep.
And I was
so disappointed.
Fucking in the trenches.
Erica, same. We were at work at WWE and stuff. Remember, we would like
dude,
our
y'all
theories
were in it.
All
in
day.
In
the whole day. We'd be like, well, this is probably going to happen. And they're probably going north to,
but he
to
wrote,
distract
he
them
wrote
from
us.
The
south. Corner, like, them dragons were cool, though.
And then it ended up being so fucking stupid.
Yep.
Granted, I don't.
So disappointed.
Is that really the ending? But it wasn't even close. Like,
nope.
Even if it wasn't entirely like the exact ending, it wasn't even close
not even
to
in
the best
same...
fan theory that I saw.
Yeah. Not even close.
So what the that's where I'm concerned with some of these people, especially
yeah,
with Iron Flame,
don't
because I don't think Rebecca Yarros is that good of a writer to be able to like start, I know we're talking
save
about that circle
that
yeah,
actually,
yeah, yeah
no I know but I'm saying like fan theories in general are fucking dangerous because
yes.
you get wrapped up in them.
So what were
I
you
agree.
Gonna say like, I can't believe we didn't talk about this yet
yeah
because
it's gonna be our last
shit.
Thing and then we
I
gotta
promise,
wrap this up
we're at an hour
and there's no way people are still listening.
Oh, special edition. Okay. So there's like six special it. Editions.
Yeah.
What?
With six.
Yeah.
So there's six different, I think six, maybe five.
Six?
Yeah.
With every
it's
single,
on the Discord.
Every single one of them has
a different
bonus
chapter.
That's
and
fucked.
That's how I
that's
got spoiled
fucked.
About.
I
so what do you expect me to do? To buy
six books?
Six $20 books?
That's crazy.
So
that's so, oh, I hate that.
Hold on. So one of
that's
one
predatory.
Of our friends posted
that's
the picture
shitty.
On
it's
the
so
Discord.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, as an author, I would be like, yo.
Here we go.
No. We have a Barnes & Noble version that's going to have a bonus scene of Bryson Hunt. A Books A Million version that has a scene of Ember and Randall.
Dude.
And who would want that?
Who wants Bryce's parents? An indie bookstores are going to have Bryce and Danica scene. Target.
Who would want that?
Target has a Rune and Lydia scene, which is how I found out that Lydia was day. I looked at this by accident.
Damn.
So I was spoiled. And then Walmart is going to have a Bryce, Nesta, and Asriel scene.
You know what this is?
So five.
You know what this is? Stanley Cup. That's what this is.
What the fuck?
Stanley, the cup that everybody's obsessed with now because they made a Target version that you can only get at Target and people fist fought each other over it.
Seriously?
It's the worst marketing scheme of all time and y'all are falling right into the trap.
I think it's scummy.
It is.
I think it's scummy.
Don't support that.
And I was talking to Kate about this.
And the ebook doesn't have
That's
it.
What I was say.
And the audiobook doesn't
so
have
I was say,
it.
The ebook doesn't have it. The audiobook doesn't have it. And people are going to say, well, it's the publishers. The publishers are asking, like, Sarah wrote it.
How is
Sarah had to say yes. She fucking wrote the chapters.
Yes.
Someone else didn't write the chapters. So
I'm
she's
so
part of it.
Done with it.
I don't know, man. I just think support that.
I mean, from all the other SJM books, they post the chapters online. Like, somebody will post
Someone
a
always
link.
Shares Good. Online.
I will fucking blast that to the moon. I am going to repost it so excessively.
I think
not
that
all heroes
so
are
consistently
so that every single person knows that they don't have to buy multiple books.
Yeah, I think that's where
I am,
that lies.
I fuck the man. Fuck the man, and I'm coming for them.
Hey, snaps.
Single-handedly, I will
Erica
fucking...
for president.
Yeah. of the
I
world.
Probably won't chair Ember and Randall's.
Sorry. Go elsewhere for that one.
I feel weird about that one.
All right, let's wrap it up. We're done. We're no more Crest.
So I think if you had to ask me, what did you rate it, Maria? Like, really, what did you rate it?
Yeah, I am curious.
This is a three.
Three? I was going to guess three for
because
you.
I was not having fun
for
85% of this book.
Yeah.
I was literally like.
Totally agree.
And I couldn't just listen to it and just like do things.
Yeah.
And I tried to play Fortnite and listen to it at the same time. I was like, no, I have to fucking pay attention.
Yeah, that's bad.
Because it was too much. It's too much going on.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of like reading it physically on my Kindle and listening to it so it would fucking retain something.
Yeah.
And I just felt like this isn't fun for me.
Again,
there were some moments that were like, ooh. Like, the Under King was scary at one point, or one of the Princes of Hell had a scary moment with the Mystics. With that whole, the whole Mystics thing was weird and scary. And I was just like, okay, that was a good 2 seconds.
Exactly.
Out of the 18-hour book or 20-hour book that this is.
Yeah. Again, I cannot recommend enough.
Carrie can read.
Carrie
man.
Can
Go
read on
her.
YouTube. Watch the Crescent City videos. I did not
she
read
She also
it.
Did ACOTAR.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I didn't read these books, and I feel like I know everything I need to know without all the Rapper. Bullshit.
Like a little hoodie.
It's
Nina
like
has a hoodie on today. It's really cute.
It's like watching reading the abridged version. Just go do that.
Yeah. That's an abridged version I can
that's
stand
what,
behind.
That's what we're getting out of this. Thank you, Carrie Can Read, for supporting and sponsoring this episode. She
there
did not, actually.
I bet you there are abridged versions of SJM books.
There
that
should
would
be
interesting.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode.
Thank you. We're back.
Yeah, we're back, and we're ready to bitch.
Thank you for still supporting us while we take our breaks. We really appreciate it. It helps us a lot, especially during the holidays. It's just a lot on
Very
us
excited
here.
To complain about books.
So excited to keep bitching about books.
Yeah, that's what we do.
We are the bitches.
We love you all. If you want to follow us on Instagram, look up books_n_betches, BETCHES. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We need more subscribers. Yo, go over there. Even if you don't want to watch it, just hit that subscribe button for no reason. I don't even know if that does anything.
As they say, it helps our channel grow.
Yeah, it helps our channel grow. And
smash that like button.
You know what I hate when people say it supports my, it helps feed my family.
Well, yeah, it doesn't do that, but
I know.
Just
thank goodness.
But have you seen people say that?
No.
Oh.
I would say it helps support my channel.
Books coming in this batch and not in this particular order. We read
Crescent City 2, we just did, right? Iron Flame, None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. Britney Spears is The Woman in Me.
And The Egg.
And the egg by Andy Weir. Did you Which realize one? It was by Andy Weir?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Until I was like looking. I was like, oh my God, Andy Weir. I freaking love him.
I didn't know.
So you got a couple weeks, maybe even a month to, depending on, I don't know when we'll post these, but read those books if you want to be and go along for the ride. We love you all. Thank you so much for the support, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Oh my God.